Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. John McCain and Barack Obama each talk about working together to some extent on the Wall Street bailout. Obama suggested, first, a joint statement of concern and positions of agreement. McCain increased the ante, suggesting they stop campaigning for a few days and work together in Washington on it, which could mean postponing the first debate. Obama's reaction to that.
This is exactly the time when the American people need to hear from the person who, in approximately 40 days, will be responsible for dealing with this mess.
McCain, speaking to CBS's Katie Couric for tonight's Evening News, says the debate could wait a few days.
Well, I don't think at this time that we can worry much about politics. I think the American people expect more of us, and I would hope that we would respond that way.
In Mississippi, where the debate is set for Friday night, the debate commission at this point says it is proceeding as scheduled. President Bush will speak to the nation tonight about the economic bailout and the need for $700 billion from taxpayers.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Facing stiff opposition to his bailout plan, especially among Republicans, President Bush will use his address to describe how much is at stake. We're told he knows he's asking American taxpayers to make a very hard decision, but he believes that the cold on Wall Street could infect Main Street as well. He views it as a once-in-a-century crisis.
Taxpayers, the voters, are a restive bunch lately. A new CBS News New York Times poll finds reaction to the president's handling of the economy at an astounding low point.
He only gets a 16% approval rating when it comes to his handling of the economy. That is an all-time low for this president.
CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic. There is an energy victory for Republicans on the Hill. For the first time in 25 years, Congress is lifting the ban on drilling for oil off the Atlantic and Pacific coastlines.
Democrats wanted to keep it, but were under political pressure from Republicans and a veto threat from President Bush, who indicated he'd let the government shut down over the issue. So the moratorium will end next week. But since it takes years to get new leases for drilling, the decision could quickly be reversed by a new president.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. That item is part of a mammoth spending bill designed to keep the U.S. government in operation through next March. Going home to Galveston with some mighty heavy hearts.
Victoria Parlier's home is gone. So is her mother Lois's.
She's 88. I don't know what she will do in the future.
To the eerie screeching of twisted blinds on a buckled floorboard, the realization that little's left.
So we've tried to pack some of her personal china and crystal and a few things that someone her age would want and have.
Victoria says she will return. It might not be so easy for her elderly mother. August Skamenka, CBS News, Galveston, Texas.
Wall Street today, the Dow down 28 points, NASDAQ up 2, and oil below 106 a barrel. This is CBS News.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Last year, fewer than half as many people who should have gotten their flu shots actually did.
The CDC says there should be between 140 and 145 million doses available this year.
So there's plenty of vaccine available there.
Dr. Anthony Fiore with the CDC says more Americans than ever before are being encouraged to get vaccinated.
All school-age children are now recommended to get an annual vaccine, and that hasn't been the case in the past.
He says this year's vaccine appears to be a good match.
The strains that are just showing up here now are quite well matched to the vaccine that we are advising people to get.
Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Home sales in August were down 2 points overall. Walter Maloney at the National Association of Realtors.
The overall level of home sales was pretty much as expected, but we saw rising sales activity in the Midwest and South being offset by drops in the Northeast and West.
Maloney says it's harder, even with so many homes on the market and prices low, for buyers with excellent credit to find the mortgage money now. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We'd been mattress shopping all day, and he bet me that I'd love the very next bed we tried.
Was I right?
You cheated. He took me to the Select Comfort Store to try a Sleep Number bed.
But was I right?
Come on. I adjusted my side to the Sleep Number that felt best. That's the whole idea.
And you?
Loved it.
See, I was right. I want to remember this. I'm not right very often.
He's right about that.
Join the over 5 million people who've discovered the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed.
I knew you would.
I know you knew I would.
Searching for the perfect pillow? Introducing Create Your Perfect Pillow. In 3 easy steps, we'll help you personalize your pillow for unbelievable comfort. Hurry in for additional savings during our semi-annual bedding sale. Now through September 27th, only at a Select Comfort store.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Give me $700 billion and nobody gets hurt. I don't know about you, but I could use a couple extra hours in the day just to keep up with all the news that's breaking in America and around the world. But we do our best to bring you what we know. And talk to people who know more than your humble host. It's going to be a powerful ride today. Stay with us as long as you possibly can. And if you have to check out, there's always the podcast available for you after the show. We're going to spend the first hour talking about John McCain. And then next hour, we're going to take a break from all the heavy lifting this week and talk about Humboldt County's number one crop. It's California's number one crop and America's, too. No technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road to hell. And the road to hell is paved with ganja farms. Yes, marijuana, weed, green bud, whatever you like to call it. That is the number one cash crop in Humboldt, in California, and in America today. And David Samuels is a gifted magazine writer. He wrote a piece for The New Yorker over the summer called Dr. Kush. And he's going to talk with us about his adventures in California. And it'll occur right about 4:20. He'll be with us between 4 and 5 o'clock today. And then in the free speed zone, we return to reality. Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Cleveland, is scheduled to join us at some point in the free speed zone. We also might hear from his Democratic colleague, Jackie Speier, the newest member of Congress from the San Francisco area. And she served in our state Senate and distinguished herself on issues related to banking and finance. And so I hope she will be able to join us. We'll also take a break for the blues a little bit later. Tom Mazzolini is going to tell you about this weekend's San Francisco Blues Festival. And it's something I never miss. Maybe twice in 30 years, something like that. So I hope you'll join us and call in when you feel the urge. Lines open all the way through the show, and especially in the free speech zone, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I really appreciate emails that people send me. Getting a lot of emails these days about troops being deployed to the United States to quell disturbances. It's eerie. It's alarming.
Anyway, you can email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com or fullofit at peterbcollins.com. In our first hour today, it just happened to be scheduled this way, but two of my favorite writers who have books out about John McCain on the show back-to-back. A little bit later this hour, Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. But first, Paul Waldman.
The mountain is high.
Ride is the name of the new book by Paul Waldman and David Brock. It's called John McCain and the Media. That's the subtitle. Paul returns to our program today. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you keeping up with all this stuff? I mean, it changes every 20 minutes. The breaking news today is that John McCain has said that he is going to suspend his campaign as of Thursday. The timing here is curious. So that he can return to Washington to participate in the debate about the bailout for Wall Street billionaires. And I suggested on Monday that Barack Obama should do just that, that he should come back to the Senate and show leadership over the Democratic caucus and shepherd through the legislation that the next president will have to deal with. Do you see this one as advantage McCain by making this call today?
I don't think so. I think that's what they probably thought when they did it. I mean, it's pretty gimmicky. You know, it's not as though everyone was waiting for John McCain to figure out what was going to be in this bill. I mean, they're working on it. And it's, you know, he's not exactly the expert on economics or anything like that. So it was going to happen with him or without him. I think the only question really is whether or not he's going to be in favor of the ultimate bill that gets produced.
Mm-hmm.
That could really be meaningful, whether he decides to support it or not. But they don't need him to come up with the bill itself.
Now let's come back to the bill part and the wrangling in the Senate. But
right.
First of all, the overarching issue here is that John McCain had a really bad week last week and has resorted now to attacking the New York Times because it publishes things that he doesn't like to see about his lobbyist campaign manager Rick Davis and others. A new poll came out, a national poll showing Obama up by more than 10 points, and that scared the McCain campaign. And there is this debate scheduled for Friday night, which is supposed to be at Ole Miss and is supposed to be about national security. And one of the gambits here in this suspension of campaigning is that he wants to duck out of Friday night's debate.
Yeah, and I think that you're exactly right. It was those things that led them to say, okay, well, we have to do something to shake this race up. So I think their calculation was, well, if we come out and say we need to delay the debate so that I can go to Washington and, you know, work on the economic problem, that Barack Obama would be kind of in a corner whatever he did. If he said, no, I don't want to delay the debate, then they'd be able to say, oh, well, he's not putting country first.
Mm-hmm.
And if he said yes, then it would look like McCain is the one setting the agenda and being the leader. Well, it was interesting to watch Obama when he came out and gave his response. When he made a statement at a press conference, and then the first question that he got was about this question of whether or not the debates were going to be delayed, and he just brushed it off with a great degree of confidence. Just kind of, he said, "Well, you know, a president is going to have to do more than one thing at once." So I think that the debate should go on. And what was notable was not even so much the content of what he said, but this sort of manner that he had. I think the McCain campaign is still under the impression that they're running against, you know, Mike Dukakis or something like that, who is going to run scared every time they make some new gambit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's so notable about Obama is that he doesn't really show any kind of fear of the Republicans, which is different from previous Democratic candidates. And so even though before he came out, it might have looked like the McCain campaign did this brilliant strategic move that was going to box him in, when you saw him up there, it really looked like he didn't really he wasn't too concerned about them. And my bet is at this point that the debate is going to go forward, and it's going to be McCain who is going to have to kind of go back on what he proposed.
Well, and I think there are reasonable changes that could be made. This topic could be shifted from national security to the domestic economy, or even focused primarily on the bailout issues themselves. The venue could be changed if both candidates are in the United States Senate. Hey,
We own the place. I think we could hold a debate there. It starts at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Friday night, and I don't think that's going to be conflicting with any activity in the Senate at that particular moment.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be too much of a heavy lift. And you're right. I think that having the first debate about economics would be another good idea. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. But, it does seem as though the McCain campaign is really trying to find something that will sort of shake things up after they had this bad week, and it doesn't really look like this is going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the one other thing is I would like to see Obama take more of a leadership role because, as I mentioned, if he is the next president, he's going to have to live with this messy package, whatever it turns out to be. It certainly looks like it's going to be less than $700 billion. It looks like it's not going to include that onerous Section 8 that exempted it from any legal challenges or court activity in the future. And it does seem that Democrats are going to impose some critical conditions on executive pay, on warrants or some equity for the American taxpayers in these companies that we bail out. And I see that proceeding in a way that doesn't scare me as much as the Treasury proposal did when I saw it over the weekend. But I really would like to see Obama put his imprimatur on this and really manage the action in the Senate. And I think he's not going to do that. He seems to prefer to kind of float above all this and offer principles and generalities. And then when there's a bill, he'll probably take more explicit positions.
Yeah, I think, this is all moving very fast. And there's talk that this whole thing could or should be completed by the weekend, which is pretty extraordinary when you think about the kind of money that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find fascinating is that when you hear Republicans talk about it, they sound a lot like Democrats. They're out there saying, we need to put constraints on executive compensation, and the American public has to make sure that they're getting a fair deal. It almost seems as though you have the administration that put out their proposal that was almost dead on arrival. It was so ridiculous, particularly that portion about the Treasury Secretary not being able to have any oversight whatsoever on his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have them on one side, the administration, and then on the other side you have Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Now, I don't know exactly what the final version is going to come out looking like, and there will obviously be more wrangling between now and the time that it's approved, but it does seem as though the emerging consensus is that at least some of those kinds of requirements that the Democrats have been asking for to ensure that the American public isn't just picking up an enormous tab to make sure that the people on Wall Street can retain their golden parachutes, that does seem like it's going to end up being in the final bill, because I think that everybody from both parties sees that the public is not going to swallow this unless they feel like they're not getting the shaft.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think it's just going to be very interesting to see, because we were talking about this yesterday, and Senator Sanders came on in our third hour, and we discussed the political dynamic here, which is it's possible that, like they did with Harriet Myers, the Republicans will actually unify against the White House position here, leaving the Democrats in collusion with the White House over an unpopular bailout bill that becomes an albatross to Democrats, including the top of the ticket. And I hope they're very wary of this and do not go forward with a bill that is primarily passed by Democrats.
That's entirely possible. I think it really depends what's in it. The Republicans in Congress have one major difference between their perspective and the perspective of the White House. The Republicans' perspective is dictated by the fact that they have to run for a re-election in November.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they've got their eye on. I think that everything really depends on what's in the bill. If people feel as though, at least from the early polling we've been able to see, if the public feels as though the proper protections for them are in the bill, and that it's not just a big giveaway, then I think they'll support it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the public is behind it, then I think you'll see most everyone in Congress get behind it because they're going to ultimately do what's in their best political interest.
Well, and it appears there's a cheaper way out, Paul, because the markets were calm today after Warren Buffett announced he's putting $5 billion, that's with a B, into Goldman Sachs. And if we could just funnel, $5 billion a week to Buffett, that'd be a lot cheaper than a $700 billion bailout.
We'll take a break and return with
Paul Waldman. Read his work at MediaMatters.org. And pick up the book, Free Ride, John McCain and the Media, co-authored by Paul Waldman. A lot of great information in there. And we'll talk about bashing the media. We'll talk about Rick Davis as we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs and investigators in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at toddhornickforjudge.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Eight homes, 13 cars. Oh, old man, take a look at your life. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour is about John McCain. Paul Waltman's with us, the co-author of Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And, Paul, there's so many reminders of McCain's connections to lobbyists. Just during that lengthy commercial break where he almost fell asleep, the timing was excellent because an express driver came in to pick up my computer to send it into the shop. You know how that works. And I said, DHL? And he said, well, yeah. And he was wearing an airborne uniform. And I said to Katrina, oh, yeah, they merged. And it was one of John McCain's buddies who was the lobbyist who made all that work, and it produced layoffs in Ohio. And now Rick Davis is front and center because after McCain offered these flat-out lies about how Obama was at the center of the Freddie and Fannie meltdowns and that he received more money than any member of Congress, I've got the facts right in my hand here. John McCain has received 10 times more money from people connected to Fannie and Freddie than Senator Obama. It's $169,000 to $16,000. And yet McCain has gotten away with these finger-pointing messages about how this is all Barack Obama's fault.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. And it was kind of surprising that the McCain campaign almost set themselves up for this by airing this ad going after Obama. Why? Because somebody in the Obama campaign once made a phone call to Franklin Raines, who used to be the head of Fannie Mae, and so they were somehow trying to blame the whole thing on him. But it turns out that McCain's campaign manager is basically coordinating lobbying and PR activities for Fannie and Freddie.
Wait. Rick Davis hasn't received a dime from them since August.
Well, it's very complicated. It depends who you ask. And McCain went out himself and said things about how, you know, he hadn't any involvement with them in years, and it turned out not to be true. You know, nobody knows if Davis just neglected to tell McCain and let him go out and say that. But you know, I think that this is a constant problem for them throughout this campaign because McCain has so many connections to so many different lobbyists, you know, and he has so many different lobbyists working for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama has that line that you can just tell the glee in his voice when he says it, that, you know, McCain says he's going to overthrow the old boys network, but in the McCain campaign they call that a staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there's a lot of truth there. He has just so many different corporate lobbyists who are working for him at the top echelons of his campaign, and it makes it very, very difficult for him to try to attack Obama on the same grounds. And so, you know, what you find is that with each passing day, as these kinds of issues come more and more to the fore, it makes it harder and harder for McCain to make the most politically effective arguments.
Mm-hmm. And once again, you and the Media Matters Action Fund have put together this. I keep it on my desktop here at all times. It is a beautiful graphic representation of all of the lobbyists around John McCain. It's even been updated now, I see, to show the people who've left the campaign. But there are plenty of them left. And if you go to MediaMattersAction.org, there's a link to it there, MediaMattersAction.org. And share that with some of your skeptical friends who say, oh, they both have a lot of lobbyists around them. And you will see just how thick and deep the ranks of lobbyists are around Senator McCain. So, Paul, as you see this shaping up, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was the frontal attack on the New York Times this week. Is that resonating, as we say in the red states?
I can't see how it is, and they've really reached kind of a different level with the hostility toward the media. That on the one hand you have these kind of really just almost ridiculous attacks on the press. That every time there's some story that doesn't, I guess, praise McCain as a mavericky maverick, they come out and say, "Oh, you know, you're in the tank for Obama." And they've literally gotten to the point where
150% in the tank.
Yes, 150%. They've gotten to the point where reporters aren't even allowed to ask McCain Flack's questions. It just the fact that they ask questions is evidence that they're biased against them. And then at the same time, you have this strange thing they're doing with Sarah Palin, where they're treating her as though, you know, she's some kind of as though she's made of China. And if you, you know, jostle her, she might break into pieces. They won't even let her get asked questions, even the simplest of questions. You know, they've been doing these photo ops when she meets with these foreign leaders of the UN.
Yeah.
And one reporter at some point called out like the easiest softball question, like, what did you learn from your meetings?
Yeah.
And they immediately shuffled her off as though even allowing her to answer that would be too risky. And it's gotten to the point where they're being so protective of her that it undermines all the arguments they've made about how terrific she is.
Right. Well, she's got that executive experience. Thank you, Paul. Great to talk with you. Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. Cliff Schechter continues the conversation about McCain.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Troy Davis, who was to have been executed by the state of Georgia at 7 p.m. last evening, is still alive this morning. As CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman tells us, a stay came through at 5:20 p.m.
Davis came within 2 hours of execution. That execution has received a stay from the U.S. Supreme Court. That stay will remain in effect at least until next Monday, when the justices have a chance to review it, not in public, but in private.
His lawyers are relieved, to say the least.
It's great that there's a stay. We're hopeful that the Supreme Court will allow Mr. Davis to get a new trial.
ACLU lawyer Christopher Hill.
There is no physical evidence. There's no murder weapon. The only evidence against him were the eyewitnesses, and seven of them recanted.
In a moment, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? This doesn't happen overnight ordinarily, though in some people it can develop rather quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, do see an eye doctor. Get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and...
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
No court had been willing to listen to what seven witnesses against Troy Davis at his trial now say really happened. It must have been harrowing for Davis and his family and supporters to come so close to death last night before the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in and issued a stay. The Georgia Supreme Court had refused to do so. Andrew Cohen says it is unusual for the U.S. Supreme Court to step in this way.
It's rare for the court to issue a stay of execution, but it's not unheard of even for this conservative majority. And clearly this is one of those extreme cases where seven witnesses from the prosecution case recanted. There was no physical evidence. There's no murder weapon that was found. I'm not surprised about this.
There's no guarantee there won't be an execution at some point, Cohen says, but under the circumstances...
This is probably the least surprising stay of execution we've seen in quite some time. This is a real extreme case. I don't know why the Georgia Supreme Court didn't stay the execution to evaluate some of these changes in the testimony of some important prosecution witnesses.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
There's something I wanted to tell you right here. I guess my CRS is acting up again. I'm not old enough for a senior moment. Well, I guess I ought to just start drinking again. We continue our conversation about John McCain's surprise announcement today that he is suspending his campaign for a couple of days, and that includes he wants to suspend Friday night's long-scheduled debate on national security from the University of Mississippi. I'm sure at Ole Miss they're not too pleased about that. Cliff Schechter returns to our show. We pressed him into extra action today to respond to this breaking development. Hi, Cliff.
Hello there, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. And Cliff's the author of The Real McCain, and the subtitle is right here, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't.
But I need to apologize, Peter. I'm not sure we can continue this phone call.
Okay, why?
Because there's a financial crisis right now.
Yeah? So you're going to return to Washington and hide in the corner?
Well, yeah. As you know, when there's a financial crisis, the best way to, that I feel like I can show leadership is to no longer do what I would normally do, talk to you on the radio, really do much of anything but sit in the corner and eat ice cream.
I like
to be graders, so that's good.
Well, it is the best, and I do understand that. I've got a trip home to see Mom in October, and I will be coming back. Oh, the airlines are going to charge me. It's going to cut into my graders acquisition plan. At any rate, Cliff, you and I were talking on Monday, and I can't remember if I said this to you or one of the other fine people on the program, but I was arguing that Barack Obama should stop campaigning in Florida for a couple of days, come back and manage the Democratic caucus in the Senate around this critical bill that is going to define the next presidency. Because with this kind of a hole in the budget, no health care, it will really put a crimp on things. And not only that, this could be a huge boondoggle that blows up in the face of the Democrats if the Republicans maintain their Harriet Meyer stance in opposition to the White House.
Yeah, I mean, I believe if I remember correctly, it was you. I think you said it, Peter, so you deserve all credit there. I think that in Obama's case, the difference was I think it would have been a great thing to do because I actually believe it would be a good political move, but it would actually be genuine on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we know, and which I posited in my book, which came out, as you know, in May, and that was, of course, we know long before a lot of people in the media discovered that John McCain shockingly did things for political reasons. Not that I'm not glad they've all joined the chorus now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we can't believe that he ever does anything for real reasons. I don't believe he does. And if I'm to understand what occurred today, Barack Obama's people called him at 8:30 in the morning to say, let's put out this joint statement. And the McCain people immediately politicized the whole thing by going them a step further and saying, I'm going back to Washington. I'm suspending my campaign. Let's cancel the debate. And by the way, you need to cancel your to suspend your campaign too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously, even if they go, there's no problem with going back to Washington. But I don't really understand why that means they can't debate on Friday night. Theoretically, if you're someone who's fit to leave this country, you can actually, you know, run and perhaps chew gum at the same time.
Well, and I made this point a few minutes ago. Number one, I have no objection to changing the venue if they're going to both be in Washington. We own a building there called the Capitol.
Yeah, I do remember that, or at least the people used to own it. I'm not sure under Republican rule, Big Oil perhaps came to own it. But
and by 9 p.m. Eastern on Friday night, we know that all the other senators will have left to go have dinner with a lobbyist. lobbyist. So
exactly, that's a good point. They must keep up appearances.
And
weenie cocktail parties going on in town, as there always are.
And they've already got cameras, you know, and all the technical equipment. So moving to the Capitol or even some other venue in Washington would permit the debate to continue. And I also think that it would be very wise of Jim Lehrer to announce, by the way, we've noticed that there's some real important pressing issues, and so we're going to change the subject or at least split the topic from exclusively national security to some mix of the economy, the bailout, and national security. And I think that would be a great way to respond to these developing issues.
And I'd be just fine with that, too. Exactly. Listen, as long as the debate takes place, they can have it on the moon for all I care. Precisely, and I'm glad the Obama people responded to that silliness the way they did, which is precisely at a time like now is when we need to have a debate. I mean, let's have a debate. Let's talk about whether, you know, John McCain's version of deregulation, you know, a la Phil Graham and Rick Davis, is what we need. You know, more deregulation, more tax cuts, all these wonderful things that have done marvels for our economy. Is that what we need to continue doing, or do we need a different approach? Let's have that debate. And I think during times of crisis, instead of stifling debate, a democracy should want open debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the Obama team should respond, okay, we'll postpone the debate, but let's have a town hall meeting instead.
Sure, why not? McCain loves those things, and he lords over them, so they could try that. And they may want to respond also, perhaps during such a time of dire crisis, you know, where it's so important that we put politics aside, you could, you know, perhaps maybe have your vice presidential candidate answer a question or two that she's not pre-prepared for.
Oh, that's unthinkable.
I know. We wouldn't do that. They say they're suspending the campaign, so I've heard they're taking their ads off the TV. Terrific. Does that mean they're going to stop? When they're suspending their campaign, does that mean for a couple days they'll stop meddling in the Troopergate scandal and trying to protect Sarah Palin up in Alaska? Because that's purely campaign activity. That wasn't going on before she was picked. Is that count? And I want to know what counts as suspending the campaign.
Now, are they? Do they actually include stopping advertising as part of suspension?
I read in a few different places today that they've said for a few days that they're going to suspend their advertising.
Oh.
Because apparently it's doing them so much good that they've fallen behind 9 points.
Well, and it might actually save them some money, right? They don't have as much as the Democrats do this year.
That's a great point. I mean, look, anything right now, when John McCain got up and, you know, he's told lies, both large and small, as has Sarah Palin, his running mate, during the past couple months. He just got caught, and he's gotten caught in many of them, but he just got caught in a major, major lie about, you know, his campaign manager, Rick Davis. Either it's a lie or he didn't know his own campaign manager was on the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae gravy train until a month ago.
Yeah.
You choose what you think it is, but either way, he was caught, whether he just didn't know the facts or was lying, and throw that in with a major economic crisis for which he has no answer, which has led people to start maybe talking about Charlie, our old friend Charlie Keating again, and led people to start asking questions about, you know, potential Treasury Secretary Phil Graham, who is at worst the architect of what's occurred in this country right now. He's the one who was sponsoring much of this legislation. He got rid of Glass-Steagall, that was the line between investment banks and commercial banks.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain won't even tell us definitively that he won't be his Treasury Secretary. So what do you do when all that stuff's going on? And on top of it, you know, everything else is going wrong. Hey, we just found out McCain's also spent $5,500 on his makeup. Because remember, it's Obama who's the elitist.
Mm-hmm.
So when all that's going on, you try to change the momentum any way you can.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. You're right. They can save money. They can change the conversation. I mean, anything that works that way is good for them.
Well, and just as the Palin pick was this effort to close the gap, a real long shot, dramatic effort, the metrics indicate that McCain needed to do something else to stay in the race here, because you pointed out that the national numbers now show a 9-point gap. That's beyond the margin of error. And I took a peek at Dick Morris's map late last night on the internets, and even Dick Morris is now showing that the Electoral College projections favor Obama, and they're showing Obama with 290-some electoral votes. You need 270, and McCain is at the 210 level. So that, I think when you put all this together, this is an effort to try to stop the clock. It could save them money if they get a week off of TV advertising at this point, and they'll have it to spend at the end of the race, avoiding the debate on national security at a time when people are focused on their pensions and their financial futures, is something that you would think is wise from their point of view. So as I'm imputing all these things, it all makes a whole lot of sense.
Sure. I didn't look at Dick Morris's map, but I saw a number of polls out today, and in a couple of swing states that clearly went Republican in 2004, at this point Obama is clearly ahead. New Mexico, Iowa, Colorado, and in a few others, he's either tied or slightly ahead, which mm-hmm. would be Nevada, Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia. So when you add all that up, and it's all the trend lines are all the wrong way for McCain, it's clear that a combination of the fascination with who the heck is Sarah Palin has worn off, and people have started finding out who she is, and that's why her disapproval rating has gone through the roof. That's part one. Part two is, of course, this financial crisis, which would have been better timed for John McCain if it had happened, on November 5th or 6th.
Yeah, right.
And thereafter, that his handiwork and Phil Graham's handiwork and really the handiwork of Republicans and sadly some Democrats, corporate Democrats too, going back a couple, decades now and continuing almost unabated is every once in a while catches up with us, and here we are again.
44 minutes after the hour, Joe calling from Brookings, Oregon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Cliff Schechter. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, well, first of all, none of these Wall Street bums should get dime one from the taxpayers. Why can't Obama make a bold move of his own and debate the third-party candidates like Ralph Nader, Cynthia McKinney, and Bob Barr?
Because they're not invited.
Well, but if Obama said they were invited, they would be invited.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, well, I don't want to show up.
Well you know what? First of all, Joe, you need to understand that the whole presidential debate commission structure is designed to create a mechanism to exclude the third-party candidates.
I understand that.
And so I honestly don't see a way that Obama could blow past that. Do you, Cliff?
It'd be difficult. I mean, I don't know. He can randomly show up somewhere, but you're right. I mean, Joe is correct in that others should be included, I think, at least in one debate. But that's just not the way it works. The two parties have a stranglehold on that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is nonsense. If Obama said he wanted them in the debates, they would be in the debates. And Obama, until he debates the one who's got the highest IQ in this race, and everyone knows it's Ralph Nader, he'll never prove to me he's the real deal. We need to change this game around. And that is the way the game is, but the game needs to be changed. We've seen what's been going on with the game the way it is now, and we're all going broke. It needs to change.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter here. Your comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Once, at a cable car turnaround, I saw a homeless guy punch a pigeon out of the air. Yeah, yeah. How hungry are you today? He knocked a freaking bird out of midair, people. Do you have any idea how much free time you have to have before an idea like that even occurs to you? How many years went by them just going, ooh, one of these days? Here was the best part, though. I was standing next to a cop when the whole thing occurred. The cop just looks at me after that and goes, that's a new one. He starts reaching for his ticket book and he realizes there's no ticket for that.
That's comedian Joe Tosic. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Just think about it. Truth about UFOs, their mysterious occupants, and Earth's hidden underground bases. If you're interested in UFOs, ETs, reptoids, Earth changes, crash retrievals, chemtrails, and conspiracies, the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo will guarantee an entertaining and educational experience. September 27th and 28th. The Bay Area UFO Expo at the Santa Clara Marriott. Get room reservations now for the best rates and be sure to mention Bay Area UFO Expo. Over 20 renowned guests and speakers, including Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, David Icke, Jose Escamilla, Sean David Morton, Whitley Strieber, and many more at this year's 10th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Just got word that Don Quixote is giving a reassurance talk tonight. Yes, fresh from consoling world leaders at the United Nations. W on the boob tube, 6 o'clock Pacific tonight. I want to set up your V-chip now. We continue with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. And Cliff, as we look at this sad situation, I wanted to call it a comic soap opera, but, you know, our money and our future is on the line here, and we're relatively powerless, and we're watching this play out. And there's so many things that just bend the mind, because the media has really run with the crisis message and that crisis frame, and no one has paused to prove it to us. And I made a point earlier this hour that, you know, Warren Buffett put $5 billion into Goldman Sachs yesterday, and the markets are calm today. And it'd be a lot cheaper to feed, you know, Warren $5 billion a week to calm America's corporate jitters than this boondoggle of a bailout that has been proposed and that Democrats are at least chewing on. You know, they're going to modify it. They're probably going to cut back the amount of money. But at the end of all this, it's just another case of the American people being hosed. And gosh, I sound kind of depressed, don't I?
Well, I mean, you know, is this a serious situation? Of course it is. I mean, there's a lot of unrest out there, and obviously with a lot of wealth being lost, with the stock market essentially erasing every gain made during the Bush administration, which is one of the few things that did make any gains, you know, there are people whose 401ks and there are middle-class families that have been hurt by this and could be a lot more hurt. I understand the worries that people have. So I understand that, but what worries me is when the crisis mentality, it's not that calling something a crisis, you know, it just may be a crisis and maybe something we have to respond to in a rational way. What worries me is those that would use that language, you know, to really give all credit to Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, mm-hmm. which I'm sure many of your listeners have read, if they're progressives, where they use these kinds of situations to try and deregulate more and privatize more and do all the other things that that these rapacious, greedy folks want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the problem.
the Public Television News Hour, I can't remember this professor's name. I think he's from Carnegie Mellon. I'm pretty sure he's from Pennsylvania, elderly guy, who said, you know, I've been watching this for 40 years, and they've drummed up these crises before. And he said, we will continue. The markets will not melt down. Wall Street might lose a lot of money. The stock market might fall apart. But the basic markets of people buying and selling stuff to each other in the United States will go on.
Right.
And he said, you know, we've really got to let capitalism work through its stuff. And I agree with that. I mean, this is so rare to be on the same page with some hard right capitalists.
Yeah, I mean, Well, I would agree with that too. I mean, first of all, any bailout plan, the fact that there are even talks of just a bailout without taking a serious look at what led to this, at rectifying it, at punishing those involved, at preventing it in the future, you know, whether it's CEO compensation or those who got hosed in their mortgages or whatever it may be, I mean, to me, that's so utterly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
that thought that anybody would ever even contemplate joining in on that silliness. It's insane. So I'm glad we've at least gotten past that, but I agree. I mean, it just seems like this happens again and again and again if you study history,
mm-hmm.
that these guys find a way to ensure, let's just say, that those, whether it's the defense industry or big oil, whoever it may be, gets the public dollars flowing their way.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Katrina just flipped me a clip here from Barack Obama saying that he will not agree to delay Friday night's debate.
With respect, yes, I saw that, and I think that was a little bit before I went on your show, and I'm very hard to hear that.
Okay, stand by. Let's listen.
We need to hear from the person who, in approximately 40 days, will be responsible for dealing with this mess. And I think that it is going to be part of the president's job to deal with more than one thing at once. I think there's no reason why we can't be constructive in helping to solve this problem and also tell the American people what we believe and where we stand and where we want to take the country. So in my mind, actually, it's more important than ever that we present ourselves to the American people and try to describe where we want to take the country and where we want to take the economy, as well as dealing with some of the issues of foreign policy that were initially the subject of the debate.
All right, Barack, your ad. That's tennis.
Yes, well done, Peter. I'm named after a couple tennis players, brought up with it.
All right, let's go. Ben in Salinas is on the line, and I have to give credit to Ben because he called me the other day with this stunningly simple approach to the problem. And he said, we'll start with the people who know that they have problem loans and you know, work from there. Because what we're told, Cliff, is we can't even estimate the degree of the problem here because nobody knows exactly how bad the problem is with these derivatives and these mortgage-backed securities because of the way they're all sliced and diced. Well, to separate the good from the bad, I'm sure many Americans would step forward and say, yes, I've got a bad loan. Will you help me fix it? And that's the way to take it off the books of the financial institutions. And, Ben, I have shared that with who? With Senator Sanders and with who was the congressman I talked to on Monday? I can't remember now.
Yes, but this is Shock and Awe Part 5, and they're not through with us yet. There's another move coming right down the pike. My question of the day is, why do they call this thing a debate? You have prepared answers to prepared questions read off of monitors, no rebuttals, no follow-up questions, and no realistic answers. Of course, McCain is running to Washington to have a round table with Bush, Rove, Congolese, Cheney, all of the actors, and Mulcahy will guard the door to see that no truth gets out to the media. And I guess Palin is invisible now. They can't find her, huh?
Well, she only is visible, actually, in photo ops with Henry Kissinger and the Caped Crusader from Kabul.
In her defense, she's busy. I think she's off somewhere beheading a moose.
Well, anyway, that's my thought for the day. And thank you, Peter. We got a hell on our hands, and we better hope for the righteous outcome.
You bet. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. And I didn't have a congress member on Monday. See, it's things are going by so fast I can't keep track of everything, but we are expecting to talk to Dennis Kucinich in about an hour, a little more than that, in our 5 o'clock Pacific hour, and we'll get his thoughts on how the Democrats should handle this and how we can best represent the needs of the American people. Cliff, about 30 seconds, anything ruminating there you want to share with us?
Well, just to me, the best thing to do in a crisis is obviously to stay calm and to think rationally about what we can do if you do indeed accept this is a crisis. And we, whatever it is, it's a serious situation, and it's something that we need to resolve through calm deliberation as opposed to doing something rash like we've done in the past.
Yeah, very good. All right, Cliff, thank you very much. Always great to have you on. We'll talk to you again Monday, if not sooner.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, Cliff Schechter, pick up his book, The Real McCain. We're going to take a break and return. Next hour, we're going to talk about California's number one cash crop, centered in Humboldt County, where we have lots of listeners on KGOE. Writer David Samuels will join us for the next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're growing, give us a call. Let us know how things are going.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. More drama in the financial crisis.
Tomorrow morning, I'll suspend my campaign and return to Washington.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill as the administration steps up its sales job for that big Wall Street bailout.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. John McCain says we're running out of time to deal with the crippled credit markets. He's suspending his campaign, including ads and fundraising, and wants Barack Obama to do the same.
I'm directing my campaign to work with the Obama campaign and the Commission on Presidential Debates to delay Friday night's debate until we have taken action to address this crisis.
What I'm planning to do right now is debate on Friday.
Obama says this is exactly the time when the voters need to hear from the candidates.
It is going to be part of the president's job to deal with more than one thing at once. I think there's no reason why we can't be constructive in helping to solve this problem and also tell the American people what we believe and where we stand and where we want to take the country.
The debate commission says it's moving forward with plans for the debate Friday at the University of Mississippi. Some perspective from CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
We've never had, in the history of presidential debates, a debate postponed. We've had negotiations that have changed the calendar, most recently in 1980. When Reagan and Carter didn't debate, I think, till the last 10 days or so of the campaign because of disputes about who would debate. But never a situation where a candidate has said, no, I don't think we should debate now. It's too serious.
Now this.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
John McCain says there's no consensus in Congress for the Bush administration's bailout plan, but a compromise seems to be taking shape. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the latest.
In closed-door meetings and another round of hearings, Treasury Secretary Paulson made clear he'll give in to congressional demands to limit Wall Street salaries and help homeowners in the $700 billion bailout. But it has to happen.
I understand this is an extraordinary ask, but these are extraordinary times.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke issued more dire warnings, saying credit markets are the lifeblood of America's economy and must not be choked off.
It will affect the unemployment rate. It will affect job creation. It will affect real incomes. It will affect everybody's standard of living.
There is progress, but still a lot of reluctance among Republicans to support the bailout. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As Wall Street waits, the Dow slipped another 28 points today, closing at 10,825. Oil's down again below $106 a barrel. President Bush underscores the urgency of the situation in a speech 2 hours from now.
I'm Mark Miller at the White House. It's the first time an economic issue has driven President Bush to address the nation. Most of his 21 previous speeches were about terrorism and or the war in Iraq. He believes the nation faces a massive crisis in the financial markets if the government doesn't act, and he wants to drive home that point to Congress and the American people.
In a CBS News New York Times poll, only 16% said they approved the president's handling of the economy. Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says that's an all-time low for Mr. Bush, but his father and Jimmy Carter were even lower during their presidencies.
Bad economic times typically help the party that is out of power, so it was helpful for Ronald Reagan in the 1980 election when he beat the incumbent Jimmy Carter. It was helpful for Bill Clinton in 1992 when he beat George H.W. Bush, and it could very well work to help Barack Obama this year.
The president and his fellow Republicans apparently will get their way on expanded offshore drilling. The House today voted to lift the 25-year-old ban on oil and natural gas exploration off the Atlantic and Pacific coasts, and the Senate is expected to go along within days. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're launching into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. And I scheduled a guest for this hour who is not yet connected with us. And I have one ulterior motive here. Some of our staunchest loyalist listeners are in Humboldt County. And they tune in every day on KGOE, the mighty 1480. And I know that Humboldt County is the center of pot growing in California. The marijuana is the number one cash crop in Humboldt, in California, and now in all of America. And so my question has been for a long time, how many of my listeners are growing, trimming, and selling marijuana from Humboldt County? And in order to draw you out and maybe draw you in, we scheduled a one-hour interview with David Samuels. He's a very talented writer, written for many major magazines. And in July, he published a lengthy essay in the New Yorker magazine called Dr. Kush, K-U-S-H, How Medical Marijuana is Transforming the Pot Industry. And it's not even 420 yet here on the Left Coast, and somehow we can't find David Samuels. Now, I don't actually know that Samuels is a pot smoker. Maybe, maybe not. He spent 6 months meticulously researching this story, and he started in Los Angeles with people who are brokers from the growers to the dispensaries. These are, of course, the legal, well, almost legal outlets that were set up under California's Proposition 215. And Prop 215 allows people to use marijuana for medical purposes. And there's this whole conflict between federal law that doesn't recognize California's legalization of marijuana for medical purposes. So there's a cat-and-mouse game that is played on a regular basis. As these legal dispensaries are set up, they attract a healthy clientele. They make a lot of money for the people running the dispensaries. And then at a certain point, the pattern is that the feds lower the boom. There was a rash of DEA actions, Drug Enforcement Administration actions, over the past year, where they went to the landlords of buildings where pot dispensaries have been set up and threatened them with federal lawsuits or criminal sanctions. In many of those cases, the dispensaries were closed, only to pop up down the street, around the corner, or across town. And so I want to open up the phone lines here because we don't know where David Samuels is. Maybe he's scoring. I don't know. Again, I don't really know if he is a user. But he wrote in great detail of his experiences with pot growers, with the people who mule it down to Southern California, the people there who ferry it around to the dispensaries. He profiled some of the operators of these dispensaries. And it's a fascinating look at a huge industry that is not quite legal. So my lines are open for you right now. And I'd like to hear from Humboldt County, or maybe you're growing in the Pinnacles in San Benito County, listening to our Monterey radio station. And I welcome your call. You can assume a name. You can disguise your location. We don't actually have caller ID here, so I'll share that with you, that we will not be able to trace your call. However, as usual, all calls are subject to interception by the National Security Agency because every call in America is subject to that. So I cannot give you total immunity. But if you're within the sound of my voice and you're involved in marijuana in some form or another here in California, I'd like to hear from you. Now, from what I understand, so much of it is grown indoors now that the seasons don't really matter. The most aggressive growers do 3 cycles a year. But for those who still grow outdoors, often on public land, it's harvest season. They're harvesting grapes for wine, too. And it's also camp season. That's when we get the helicopters, the interagency police operations that fly up and down the state and create photo opportunities for television news people to show just what they're doing to eradicate the scourge of marijuana in our midst. And that puts the growers on edge. It causes people to reach for their arms, their guns, and it converts this into a tense kind of standoff, or at least a, you know, residual level of paranoia for people who are doing this work underground or off the books.
And so I have questions for people who are involved in this. How do you launder your money? How do you explain to PG&E that you use more electricity than, you know, a whole subdivision of mobile homes? And how do you maintain your own equilibrium? And what kind of techniques do you use? Do you have money socked away? Have you prepaid a lawyer in case you get busted? Do you have a mutual aid pact with other people who are in the same business? It's interesting because nobody's calling. And I know that within the sound of my voice, particularly in Humboldt County, there must be individuals who are involved in marijuana cultivation, what they call trimming, and in the bagging and distribution and the business side of this. And maybe you're not directly involved, but you're a car dealer or you sell big screen TVs. And you see people who waddle in there with wads of cash, whose eyes may be just a little bit bloodshot. So my lines are wide open, and I'd like to hear from you. I think this is an interesting subject. And Katrina, what happened to David Samuels?
I don't know.
She doesn't know. I do recommend his article to you in the New Yorker. Some of the things that he covers are really through the anecdotes of the individuals that he met. And one of them is a guy named Captain Blue. That's the name assigned to him by writer David Samuels. And he says, Blue and I have known each other for almost two decades. Our fathers were both professors of political science. Starting in the mid-80s, we both attended Ivy League colleges in the Northeast, where we shared a fondness for illegal drugs. After graduation, Blue spun records and taught nursery school in Manhattan. Then he moved to California in 98, not long after the state banned cigarette smoking in workplaces, and then passed Prop 215. Now, one of the things that I found ironic here that I did not know until I read this article requires a little explanation. There is a shorthand term for marijuana, for people who smoke it. You sometimes see it on text messages or on posts on the internet. And the shorthand is 420, just the numbers 4, 2, and 0. And somebody else may know better than I do, but I think it came from shift workers who would take a fatty to work and fire it up about 20 after 4 in the afternoon. And as we broadcast live here, we are approaching 420, and I'm sure some people may be operating in that ritual manner. But the irony here is that in 2003, the California legislature passed some legislation to clarify the intent of Prop 215. And it was Senate Bill 420. I find that quite amusing.
Was it really?
Yeah. Hi, Billy.
Hi, sweetie.
Billy Sunshine's here.
Now, I was never a grower, although I would have loved to have been. But I actually, in the old days, was involved with marijuana from every possible angle. I sold it. I smoked it. I was addicted to it. I was employed by the federal government at something called the Drug Education and Training Program, where we took people who worked in the profession and gave them small group experience. I ran a tea group.
Wait. I need to know more about that. What was that? The drug?
I worked at a place called the Eastern Pennsylvania Psychiatric Institute, in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And we worked for a NIMH-funded program, National Institutes of Mental Health, called the Drug Education and Training Center.
Okay.
We used to run week-long workshops.
Is that where they teach you how to operate a rolling machine or what?
Among other things, that's right. Mostly we taught professionals and paraprofessionals who work in the field about different things. We would give them sensory experiences so they could sort of understand what it might be like to feel differently, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I also ran, we did what's called T groups or sensitivity groups to sort of be able to create a special place where things could happen. that kind of thing. I even, for example, was a consultant for the Philadelphia school system when they did a teacher's guide to drug
use. Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So what do you want to know?
You've seen it from both sides now.
I've seen it from every side possible.
Uh-huh. So,
and mostly, you know, the thing that amazes me is that they've actually gotten away with making second-class citizens out of people who smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. whether they did it for fun or for medical reasons. I never could understand how they could get away with it. It seemed so arbitrary. When alcohol and tobacco were killing people and marijuana wasn't, I never really did hear the argument that made sense. Did you know what that was about?
You know, last week people were calling out of the blue about, you know, prohibition and how it was promoted by Hearst, and that Hearst promoted the whole idea of banning marijuana and hemp because he had had some problems on his ranch in Mexico, and he also owned a lot of paper. So it's interesting when you see the history of all this, but yeah, I mean, they have managed to, you know, turn marijuana into a very scary thing for people who don't know anything about it, and it is relatively benign. And it certainly is not as addictive as alcohol. It's not as dangerous for most people who function on it.
But they hunt them down and put them in jail.
Yeah.
It strikes me as some sort of like Russian kind of thing. I used to hear about Russia and about people being put in jail for thought crimes. Clearly, mm-hmm. this is a thought crime.
Yeah, it is. I got to run to a break, Billy. Thank you for your call.
You bet.
And your confession. Now, Patty was on the line from Humboldt, was going to tell me about her experiences growing pot, and she hung up. So all my lines are open right now. It's almost 4:20, so indulge me, will you? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas. For reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report on September 24th, Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week. We've got a problem in Monterey on Highway 101 northbound, just south of Hartnell Road, a traffic hazard. We've also got a hazard reported in Santa Cruz County on Highway 17 southbound, just north of Pasatiempo Drive. And finally, in Santa Cruz as well, Muriel Drive at Chanticleer Avenue collision. No injuries, but a vehicle and a bike racked up, and a lot of slow movement there. Muriel Drive, it's Chanticleer. Otherwise, it's a beautiful day outside, clear skies, warm, low to mid-70s along the coast, warmer inland, and further north along Monterey Bay. Have a great day, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming up right now.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes into the hour. Well, we survived 4:20. And I'm still straight, but who knows what condition you're in. If you just joined us and you wonder why I'm talking about pot, we had scheduled a one-hour interview with writer David Samuels, who published a lengthy story in The New Yorker in July about medical marijuana in California, and the story ultimately led to Humboldt County, where we have many listeners. And so I've put out the call for people connected to the pot trade or people who service those who are in the pot business to give us a call and tell us what life is like and tell us how you operate under this murky situation where it's legal in California or under California law, but the feds, many of these are Republicans, of course, who talk about states' rights. But when it comes to medical marijuana or assisted suicide, they want to interfere with states' rights. And during the break, we got an email from David Samuels. So I want to withdraw any snarky comments that I made suggesting that he was too stoned to keep his appointment. He let us know by email that he had to take his wife to the hospital. We don't know the circumstances. I do know that she's a writer for the New York Times Magazine. But we certainly accept that explanation and hope that everything is well with David and his wife. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. I'd like to hear from you if you have anything to add to this. And we're going to open it up to calls on any subject for the remainder of this hour. So if you want to talk about marijuana and legalized or pot, medical pot, the tensions between state and federal law, any of that, I welcome it. But if you want to talk about the bailout, you want to talk about politics or anything else in the news, your calls are welcome, too. And you know my number, 888-5-PETER-B. This looks like MC Bruce.
How you doing, Peter?
Just fine. Shall I call you MC or Bruce?
You can call me whatever you like, as long as it doesn't have an expletive in the middle of it.
All right. Well,
it's a beautiful day here in Humboldt County. Nice day to grow a few things.
I'll bet it is. Now, tell me what your connection to the green industry is.
I'm an attorney. I'm a local solo practitioner, and for a little while I also worked for one of the indigent defense offices up here. So I represented some growers when I worked for the indigent defense, like Alternate Conflicts Council. I've represented people who've been just busted for pot possession. I've represent right now, actually, although I don't want to mention the name on the air, somebody who is running one of the dispensaries and is actually being, in my view, kind of persecuted on a completely unconnected charge. And after listening to your show, we're actually going to trial tomorrow on this, and it's starting to make a lot of sense as to why they've been hassling him on something that normally would just be filed, not even filed as a criminal charge, but basically taken care of in a civil context. So.
Well, if you want to do a little homework tonight, go to thenewyorker.com and enter David Samuels or Dr. Kush, K-U-S-H, in the search window, and you can read this lengthy story. It offers a lot of insight into how people live, how they cope with some of the legal issues. And one of the things that I raised a little earlier, Bruce, is do people prepay you? Do you have clients who say, here's $5,000 in case I get busted?
I don't have that. I know that there are other lawyers in town here who are longtime attorneys who've represented growers here for 20-plus years. Again, I don't want to mention their names on the air for obvious reasons, but I know that there are some attorneys here who are on retainer by some of the larger growers in the county.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not me, because I'm still I've been establishing my solo practice here for about a year and a half. So.
Well, let me just offer you a cautionary note that sometimes those kinds of arrangements can be seen as prosecutors, as collusion by the attorney. And a friend of mine, Pat Hallinan, was prosecuted by the feds when one of his clients, who was a major pot importer, flipped on him and tried to make the lawyer the guilty party here. And Ciro Mancuso was the defendant who ended up, I think, getting a year or two in prison. And Pat Hallinan did ultimately get acquitted, but he had to put his law practice on hold for a year and a half, and it was seriously damaging, personally, professionally, and financially.
Good, Peter. I think a lot of that has to do with where to get the money from, and you know,
right? Yeah.
The money from illegal.
Hey, Bruce, I got to take a break. Hold on, we'll talk a little more with you after the break. 888-5 Peter B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How about a little skin in the game? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Boy, even facing the prospect of a depression, Republicans and Democrats alike are stunned by how much the Treasury Secretary is asking for. And judging from the voter reaction, Wall Street had better rebuild the actual wall in Lower Manhattan, because last night I could hear the neighbors rooting around in the garden shed for the pitchfork. $700 billion. It's more than the total defense budget, including the war on terror. It's $112 billion more than all the checks sent to every unemployed person and welfare recipient in America last year, multiplied by two. My fellow Americans, it's time for some patriotism here. In 2006, Goldman Sachs earmarked $16.5 billion for employee bonuses. Secretary Paulson himself made $38 million in 1 year when he was at Goldman. Would it be unreasonable to ask people of Henry Paulson's class to put a little skin in the game? Suppose every super-rich American voluntarily invests, say, half their cash in this bailout fund. People like Philip Purcell, who got about $43 million in cash after leaving Morgan Stanley. Or Stanley O'Neill, who got $157 million as CEO at Merrill Lynch. Or Thomas Montag, who got $76 million after being Merrill's chief trading officer for a month. Suppose they bought up these illiquid assets. I wonder, does the immense American flag that's covered the front of the New York Stock Exchange since 9/11 mean anything? Or is it just there to hide the facade? Now this.
Poor workplace productivity can adversely affect your bottom line. Studies show that 40% of office internet use is not work-related. So chances are, you're losing money. Designed for organizations of all sizes, the Barracuda Web Filter enforces internet usage policies by blocking inappropriate websites and applications. It also keeps harmful malware from damaging your network. What goes on in your business is your business. So get to work. Try a Barracuda Web Filter free for 30 days by contacting Barracuda Networks at 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com. Be sure to ask about our competitive upgrade program.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life.
Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
There is no issue that requires action at the global, national, and local levels more than climate change. We are already feeling the impacts. You are invited to attend an excellent, free United Nations Association program called Responding to Climate Change on the Global, National, and Local Levels. This is on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. in the beautiful Steinbeck Forum of the Monterey Conference Center in downtown Monterey. The keynote speaker is Reed Detchen of Ted Turner's United Nations Foundation in Washington, a true expert on global and national climate change policy. Also an excellent local panel with Mayor Chuck De La Sala of Monterey on the role of local governments, Bill Hayward of Hayward Lumber on the role of local businesses, and Megan Tolbert of Citizens for Sustainable Monterey County on the role of community groups. This is a free program. Just come to the Monterey Conference Center on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. More at unamontereybay.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking about the number one cash crop in Humboldt, California, and America. Wait a minute, Pink. It's only for medicinal purposes. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. If you want to come in from the field and give us a call today, 888-573-8372. We continue with M.C. Bruce, who is an attorney in Humboldt County. And M.C. or Bruce, tell me your thoughts about the tension between California's law that was made by the people by initiative, Proposition 215, which permits us to grow and possess marijuana for medical reasons, and those medical reasons are very broad. All you need is a note from a doctor, and it could be for sleep maintenance or appetite issues or real serious medical problems like, dealing with chemotherapy or the wasting syndrome that comes with HIV and AIDS. And we have seen that California is pretty tolerant, but there are these intermittent raids and activities by the federal government in violation of the Republican stated commitment to states' rights, to try to bust this up. And the courts have a real problem here because federal law does prevail over state law, does it not?
Particularly in the area of drugs, whether prescription or non, because the federal government has been given power over determining which drugs are prescription, which aren't, and which can be used and which can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a tension, and I think California, as always, is kind of on the leading edge of this. I mean, my personal opinion is within 10 or 20 years, marijuana is going to be legal one way or another. I don't think we can keep going on in this country because, let's face it, California ain't the only state where people are using marijuana.
Yeah.
And, I'm over 50 years old, and I know a lot of the members of my generation smoke pot. I'm actually allergic to it, strangely enough.
Uh-huh.
Which is a funny place to be living to be allergic to marijuana.
I guess.
but I know that a lot of the members of my generation used it, and I'm telling you, the generations that came up after me, it's almost as commonplace as taking a scotch and whiskey, if not more so these days.
Sure. And I'd love to see it legalized and appropriately taxed. I think that it is a huge industry in this country, and I would rather bring it above ground so that people aren't out there with shotguns and worried that, you know, somebody else, a poacher, is going to come and raid their crop and put their lives at risk. I mean, the whole underground economy is driven by this bizarre legal structure that we have. And if we just face up to it, nobody's ever going to force somebody who doesn't want to smoke pot. But I believe that, you know, we permit the wide use and abuse of prescription drugs. We permit the wide use and often abuse of alcohol and, you know, tobacco as well. And I simply think that we should recognize that people will smoke pot, whether it's legal or not. And let's deal with that in an open and direct way. And let's regularize the revenues so that we all benefit. And, you know, it also would bring down the price.
Well, not only that, but Humboldt County would go from being one of the poorest counties in California to one of the richest overnight if we legalized and taxed marijuana.
Yeah. Bruce, thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you for talking to me, Peter.
You bet. More of your calls coming up in just a moment, and I do thank you for dialing in, so stay there if you're on the line. I just want to read a couple of excerpts from David Samuel's article so you get a flavor of it. He refers to his friend Blue and somebody else called the Kid. The Kid, Blue, and I arrived in Arcata, a small, well-kept northern town, around dusk. After dinner, we drove to a farm owned by a couple whom I'll call Nick and Danielle. Nick had long brown hair, Mediterranean features, Danielle a yoga-toned blonde. They both worked as massage therapists in Malibu. One day, a massage client of Nick's asked him about dispensaries, and he took her to one. She saw people spending $2,000 at the counter, Nick said. She said, "What kind of business is this?" Her next reaction was to suggest that Nick and Danielle could run a dispensary and she could front them $50,000 to get them started. And so they did. And David describes the scene there, and one of the things that's a thread throughout this is that most of the people, many of them involved in the marijuana trade, favor Tibetan prayer flags. So he said, Nick and Daniel's farm was at the end of a long, well-protected valley surrounded by high mountains. The turnoff was a dirt path barred by a classic old wooden ranch gate featuring the longest string of Tibetan prayer flags I saw during my stay in California. And then he, let's see, they deal with one of the questions I raised, which is water. The property lacks sufficient water for pot growing, Nick said, but the neighbor up the mountain helped him out. He's a great bro. Every few days he drops 2,000 gallons down a pipe. In exchange, Nick paid the neighbor a minimal fee. He's an older guy. He's been up here 40 years. He knows how hard it can be when you first move somewhere. All right, that explains the water. How do you explain the electricity? That's what I'd like to know. Sal in Monterey, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. It's a nice day here in Monterey for a change. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment on I've been in the construction industry for over 20 years, and I've noticed that, you know, guys are going home with aches and pain, you know, sore back, this and that. And what I've noticed, but before I make this statement, I do want to say that I agree it should be legal, and all the laws pertaining to alcohol should pertain to marijuana if they legalize it.
Yeah, that'd be fair.
But, oh, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, what's happening is there's two things. One is I know a lot of guys who would rather smoke pot than take some of the painkillers, the opiate painkillers that the doctors want to just hand you. They just want to. I've been to the doctor for a sore back, and the first thing they want to do is prescribe you painkillers.
Well, and if Rush hadn't been a pothead, he wouldn't have had to go to rehab.
Absolutely. But here's the thing: is the pot's not going to make the pain go away, but it just takes the edge off of it a little bit, so that it's a little more tolerable. And the only problem I see with the medical marijuana laws is what's happening is a lot of guys are getting medical marijuana, you know, permission, licenses, cards to use it.
Yeah.
Yet they're selling out of their home at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned that this is a perfect excuse for the feds to come down and say, look, you guys aren't really dispensing for medical reasons. You're just over here because you want to get stoned. So we're just going to, you know, take it all over. I'm afraid that all the gains that have been made here in California on marijuana laws and stuff could go right out the window.
Well, you have a point, Sal, but we can be honest here, right? 215 was a first step toward legalizing marijuana.
Oh, absolutely. I think it should be legal.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that guys that go They get the license, and then they're selling out of their homes. I'm just afraid that the feds are going to use that for an excuse to shut it all down.
And Samuels details that in his article, that there are many people who go to pot dispensaries, buy a large amount, and they don't use it all themselves. And so they are reselling, and they are, you know, mingling the legal market with the black market.
And also, on the last comment, even if they legalize pot, I don't think guys in Humboldt will be getting rich off the pot. Basically, the drug that they're all making money off of is meth now. They're cooking it in their basements, and that's the real scourge. That's the real drug we need to start kicking butt on is the meth.
Well, I agree with you there. Meth is pretty scary and very powerful and has an amazing draw in rural America. And you know the meth capital of Alaska, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wonder if Sarah Palin's ever tried it. But anyway, that's all I had to say. I mean, basically, meth is what they really need to concentrate on. They just need to leave the pot growers alone, really.
All right, Sal, thank you very much. Now to Whitney in Humboldt. Welcome, Whitney. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. I work in a hardware store and a nursery for the past 5 years or so.
Wow, I bet you see a lot of greenbacks coming through there.
It smells interesting all day. I pretty much get a contact high from half the people I converse with daily.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's because they wear Sativa by Calvin Klein.
Of course. But I think it's really funny that no one's calling in on this comment, on this whole topic, because of the fact that 215s and pot smoking is such an open thing here. Seeing a 215 card in someone's wallet is just as normal as seeing an ID.
Mm-hmm.
People are really open about it. Not a lot of people get in trouble regularly. There's a lot of people coming in getting pond liner and trying to tell me they need to make water reservoirs and stuff like that. And I don't ask any questions, but it is a really big thing here. It's a huge part of our economy.
Right.
And they did post something in our newspaper a couple years ago saying that Humboldt County would basically be gone if there wasn't for the growth of marijuana.
So then is legalization a threat to the industry? If it were fully legalized, would the bottom drop out of the farming part of it?
I honestly don't think it would because of the quality, if I could say that,
sure,
of our marijuana here. People know us as being part of the green triangle or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's notorious with rappers, and they make it a big place. People really want to try the stuff that's here, and they're willing to pay the price. So I don't think it'll be a big drop in our prices or anything like that. I think it'll still be a big part of our economy.
Now, Whitney, what's it like personally? Are the farmers nice people, or is there an edge to them? Are some of them kind of eccentric and weird and difficult?
There are a lot of people that they stick to themselves out in the mountains, and those are the people that are just kind of strange, and you don't want to go out on their property.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people here in Humboldt County are really laid back, and most of the growers are really easygoing, and they're just trying to have their harvest, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not causing any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the guy before stating about meth, because meth is a big thing here in Humboldt County as well. And that is a bigger problem, but they seem to be going more after the marijuana growers than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
well, Whitney, thanks a lot for calling today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. Now to Oz, who is in Arcata. Hello, Oz. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B., it's good to talk to you. Welcome from the Humboldt Nation. We sure like it up here. I'd be unemployed and very hungry and dead without marijuana.
Okay, are you directly or indirectly benefiting from the economy?
Well, I've been in all phases of it. Personally, I think that you should never trade any green for the green. It should be given away. Right now, what I'm involved in, I'm a caretaker for an elderly woman in her late 90s. She has glaucoma, confined to a wheelchair. She couldn't afford to live at home with the insurance cost. If some homeless person didn't come in, mow her yard, help her take care of her house and care for her, harvest two or three plants out of the greenhouse and pick her carrots, kale, and Swiss chard out of the garden so she could eat organic food like she's been used to the last 50 years. If Henry Ford would have been allowed to use hemp oil instead of Bound or the Rockefellers, we would have been on biodiesel a long time ago, and Humboldt would have been a very rich, prosperous place. It'd be a whole different economy today. Too bad we didn't do that. We would have left as a country a very much smaller carbon footprint than we have since Model Ts were on the highways of the USA.
Now, Oz, what about the kind of the militarization of pot growing? Particularly those who grow on public lands have gotten more brazen, and they often use undocumented immigrants who are subject to deportation if they get caught, and often these people are armed. Are there problems with folks who are just strolling through the redwood forests there and come across a cultivation area that was supposed to be hidden and then get themselves in a pickle?
Oh, it's a terrible, it's shameful, it's disgraceful. What's going on is everything from, illegal Mexicans growing pot to CIA operations. You never know who you're walking into here. We just need the Humboldt out, U.S. out of Humboldt altogether, and we'd be a much safer. We could take care of it ourselves, but when you don't know who you're dealing with in the woods, it's very, very scary for us local people.
All right. Oz, good to hear from you today, and thanks for listening.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, Peter B.
All right. Good to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. There's one more segment here if you'd like to check in on the marijuana industry in Humboldt County or anywhere else within the sound of my voice. Lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We're expecting to talk to Congressman Dennis Kucinich during the Free Speech Zone next hour about the bailout pending in Washington. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsworth with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Looks like most of the problems we talked about earlier have cleared up. We've got one problem on the board, a collision in Santa Cruz, Thompson Avenue at Garden Street. We've got an ambulance responding and apparently an injured driver in that vicinity. Otherwise, the roads are looking clear right now. Taking a look at the weather throughout our region, we've got a low of 69 degrees in Castroville, up to 89 in King City. Mostly 70s along the coast in Monterey County, up into the 80s in Santa Cruz, and of course, warmer inland. We'll be right back with the Peter B. Collins Show after this.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
It's the Peter B. Show.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition, that girl's gonna make me fall.
Here's a little more from David Samuels' story, Dr. Kush. And by the way, David Samuels was scheduled to join us and emailed that he had to take his wife to the hospital. So we'll try to catch up with him in the future. And you can read this article. Just log on to thenewyorker.com and look up David Samuels or Dr. Kush, K-U-S-H. He writes, after leaving Nick's farm, Blue the kid and I stopped at a diner in Redway to get a slice of blackberry pie. While we ate, I watched a long-haired teenager guide her stoned father to their car. His hair was gray and longer than hers, and when he stepped off the curb and started to amble toward a black BMW, she grabbed his arm. Dad, this is not your car. Your car's over there. He goes on, Humboldt's economy is so heavily dependent on cannabis cultivation that you can drive for miles on well-kept highways and back roads without discovering a single legitimate source of income aside from honey stands. Heading north, we eventually entered a maze of logging roads on a private reserve. Our destination was a house occupied by a woman we know as Emily, a wiry marijuana sharecropper who also works as an environmental activist. She was busy watering her plants. There were 25 in all, surrounded by a fence on which hung a laminated patient's letter signed by a doctor stating that the marijuana was intended for medical purposes. Because marijuana is a fungible commodity like soybeans or rice, there's no way to tell the difference between marijuana that winds up going to patients and marijuana that winds up on the street. The doctor's letter, therefore, was halfway between a legal document and a good luck charm. Tibetan prayer flags fluttered along the length of the fence. Joe in Santa Cruz joins us next. Hi, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joe, you there?
Hi, I'm Peter B.
Great.
I'm from Santa Cruz, card holder for about 5 years already.
All right.
Here's calling in that right here in my county, I'm very happy. I've never had a bad experience with the law enforcement or anything like that. I've been hearing about people saying, leave the marijuana growers alone and all stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do exceed or do take advantage of the card.
Right.
That's why for those people, some other people look bad. But, yeah, I mean, I've got even caught with 5 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And at that time, and my vehicle, I didn't have my card. They did detain me. Got released. All I had to do was just show my card. I did exceed the limitation where in this county is 3 pounds.
Yeah.
But all I had to do is just show my card. And,
wow.
All the charges got dismissed.
Well, was this Santa Cruz Police or County?
Santa Cruz County. It was Santa Cruz Sheriff.
Okay. Very interesting. Joe, thanks for your call today. Good to talk to you. Now to Renee in Humboldt. Renee, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to give you a little different perspective. We have rental property in Humboldt County, and we've been hit with, people growing in houses. I've talked to numerous landlords that have had property damage from growers, so there's a whole other side of the industry.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. And one of the things I raised earlier is about the huge utility bills that often accompany indoor growing and how they deal with that. And sometimes they deal with it by moving out in the middle of the night and leaving it for the landlord to pay.
Correct. But, PG&E does not question why their bill is that high. They don't care. They're just sitting back raking in money.
Mm-hmm.
We at one time called PG&E to check on our tenants' usage, and so we were able to go back like 6-9 months, and we could see when they were growing. And when we tried again to do that, well, they had since changed their policy, so I have to get in writing from the tenant to check on their usage.
Oh, I see. You could probably put that in the lease, though, right? That
some people are doing that now. They're actually having a copy of the utility bill go to the owner of the property.
Mm-hmm. So how did some of these episodes end? Did you have to evict people, or
did evict, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the people moved. I mean, we didn't have to go through eviction services with the courts. They moved.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some people that have actually had damage where their rafters were cut. They've cut holes in the middle, like the living room. The whole floor is kind of busted out so they can plant right in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
One person actually had to go through the court system to evict. So they were able to live there for 2 more months.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 3 months. Typically, to get somebody out of your house.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that perspective. I think it's important for people to understand that side of the story and the complications it can cause. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
And one more caller, Christina in Humboldt. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Peter. I was just calling to say it would be a good idea if they could legalize it, because not only would you bring more money into the state, because obviously it would be taxed, but it also is a price controller, because when you go in between seasons and people don't have as much, they tend to raise the prices on you as well.
Yeah, pot growers can be just like the oil companies.
Exactly. Well, and then you would also know that it's safe to go and get it. You wouldn't have to worry about, you know, if somebody's under surveillance and possibility of getting arrested. And a lot of people use it and need it, and there's whether it's legal or not, it's not going to go away.
Yeah. Well, I sure agree with you, Christina. You're a rational person, and, all we got to do is get you into the legislature or maybe the Congress, and things continue. Thanks for your call today, and thanks for all your calls. And I'm sorry we couldn't talk to David Samuels, but we'll try to set that up for the future. One last story for you. My friend Michael Pritchard works with young people. He was talking to a group of fifth graders. And he asked them for positive statements about their dads. Tell me something really great about your dad. And the kid raised his hand and said, "My dad knows how to grow plants in the closet."
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush, an hour from now, speaks to the nation about the financial crisis and the administration's plan to stabilize the credit markets.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Facing stiff opposition to his bailout plan, especially among Republicans, President Bush will use his address to describe how much is at stake. We're told he knows he's asking American taxpayers to make a very hard decision, but he believes that the cold on Wall Street could infect Main Street as well. He views it as a once-in-a-century crisis.
John McCain has heightened the sense of urgency, saying he'll suspend his campaign and return to Washington. He abruptly canceled an appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman and instead went to CBS News headquarters in New York to explain his decision.
Well, I don't think at this time that we can worry much about politics. I think the American people expect more of us, and I would hope that we would respond that way.
He wants to postpone the first presidential debate, but Barack Obama says he wants to go ahead with it.
It's more important than ever that we present ourselves to the American people and try to describe where we want to take the country and where we want to take the economy.
I'm Peter Mayer in Oxford, Mississippi. The group in charge of the debate says the show will go on. The Commission on Presidential Debate says it is moving forward with its original plan for the first presidential debate to take place here at the University of Mississippi on Friday.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke spent a second day making their case and answering questions on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports a compromise bailout plan is taking shape.
Away from the overheated rhetoric, sources say negotiators are moving closer to a deal. The Bush administration now has signed off on oversight, meaning the Treasury Secretary will have to answer for how he spends the bailout dollars. And Democrats apparently have won their fight on executive compensation, meaning the salaries and severance of top executives would be somehow capped if their companies unload bad assets on the government.
President Bush threatened to veto a big spending bill if it extended the ban on oil and gas drilling off the Atlantic and Pacific coasts. The bill passed overwhelmingly by the House today, lifts that 25-year-old ban, and the Senate is expected to go along. 10 days after Hurricane Ike, Galveston Island's property owners were allowed back today.
I'm August Skamenka in Galveston. Residents like Victoria Parlier are returning to find that Ike gobbled up their coast.
Where the water line is right now is where there was a road.
The erosion moved the shore inland.
These homes over here to the left, they are literally water property.
A big issue arises out of this. With beaches under public easement and a disappearing coast, the state could require, whether landowners like it or not, that these houses be condemned.
The Dow lost 28 points today, closing at 10,825. This is CBS News.
Ace is helping you spruce up around the house for fall with great deals. Now through Monday, buy 5,000 square feet of Ace Green Turf Lawn Winterizer or Fertilizer on sale for $10.99 and get an extra $3 mail-in rebate. Limit 1. Or Ace Royal Paint, starting at $19.99 a gallon. Now with an extra $5 mail-in rebate. Limit 10. Ace, the helpful place.
Sale price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with
Aetna? You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
If the economy spirals downward, the experts say we'll see more job losses, even lower home prices, and higher costs for just about everything else.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Another example of how the economic crisis might affect your wallet, higher doctor bills. Health insurance premiums have gone up only 5% in the past year, but a new survey finds our deductibles are on the rise as employers seek to offset medical costs.
Over the last 2 years, the percent of workers in plans that have a deductible of at least $1,000 for single coverage has gone up from 10% to 18%.
And Gary Claxton of the Kaiser Family Foundation expects that trend to continue.
People could see a more out-of-pocket cost if next year, given the economic downturn.
Ben and Jerry have received a radical suggestion from PETA to reduce the exploitation of cows. The animal rights group wants them to make ice cream with human breast milk. The company says Ben and Jerry applaud PETA's novel approach, but they believe human mother's breast milk is best used for her child. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. We can talk about the Washington billionaire bailout or anything else that's on your mind, including John McCain's desire to skip the debate Friday night. We're standing by. Sometime this hour, we expect a call from Congressman Dennis Kucinich, the progressive Democrat from Cleveland, who has been our stalwart leader on impeachment, on opposing the war and occupation of Iraq, consistent opposition to the Bush tax cuts and the other felonious economic principles they've used. We also have a 50-50 chance of getting a call from the newest member of the House of Representatives, Democrat Jackie Speier of California. She's from Hillsborough, the community just south of San Francisco, and she was elected in the special election earlier this year to take the place of Tom Lantos, who died in office. And she has a stellar history of being an advocate for consumers in issues related to banks and banking when she served as a member of the California Assembly and State Senate in Sacramento. So we'll just see what happens this hour, but I want you to call and let me know what's on your mind about these issues. You've seen the shift in position on the bailout, and it is shaping up as a bizarre situation where the Democrats appear to be aligned with the White House, and the Republicans, led by John McCain, are saying no to a bailout. And I think this is a strange bedfellows situation because I really don't support this bailout. I don't think it's wise. I don't think that the terms so far extract enough from those who will benefit from the bailout. And as we've discussed, I think that Ben from Salinas has the right idea. We start with the homeowners who know they have bad mortgages. The big problem, the known unknown out there, is we can't even quantify the degree of exposure because we don't know how bad the situation is. Well, every homeowner who's got an adjustable loan and who knows that that's going to adjust out of their ability to pay, I'm sure would be willing to get on a website or call a hotline within 48 hours and say, hello, I got a bad loan over here and here's how much it's worth. They could get some interns in Washington to collate the data. And within a week, well, you'd have a pretty good idea of how many problem loans are out there, how many people are in trouble. And, of course, the fundamental here is that we can't fix this problem until we know how low housing prices are going to drop. 40% from the peak is the most common estimate that I've heard from people who are experts or claim to be experts. And we haven't hit that in California yet. And so until we find the bottom, until we find exactly how many bad loans are out there, and of course the originators of these loans, the people who sold them in the first place, should know that. It's not a secret. But I think some of the lack of information and the difficulty in getting through the confusion to the facts is intentional. because this ambiguity feeds the need for more money, feeds the crisis mentality. And the decider is going to pop up on television in less than an hour, going to soothe the beasts in America's financial community. What the hell does he have to say? I think that lame duck ought to just quack off into the sunset. I mean, they're so desperate to jam through this disaster capitalism package, they sent Dick Cheney to the Hill. He only goes up there for war, torture, and disaster capitalism. So I'd like to hear your thoughts as we stand by to hear from members of Congress, and it may not happen. They're very busy, schedules are upside down, and we certainly take them at their best intentions, but we'll just have to wait and see. So in the meantime, you can populate a phone line at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let's go to Tony in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling, Tony. You're on the air.
Thank you, Peter B. I hope I have time to develop my thought. You're right on when you say that they can't come up with numbers for the problem, yet they've worked on it for weeks. I don't know if you heard that, but they've actually worked on this problem for weeks, and they're putting it out here just before the intermission so that they can create a crisis atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I read a little bit of Kucinich's blog yesterday,
yeah,
and he mentions the number quadrillion. That happens to be the amount of exposure of the derivative business, which you can get into with only $200,000 in cash, and you can get in on trading more money than there is in the entire world every single day. Now, 1,000 trillion is a quadrillion,
right,
and you take the total wealth of the planet, which is estimated at 60 trillion, you divide it in there, and what the business people have done is they've invented 16 more planets than we have right now of wealth. 16 more. We'd have to find 16 more habitable, rich planets like Earth in order to back up what they've done in the derivatives business. So that's why I say they can't come up with numbers other than 700 billion as a bottom, as a low, the lowest possible figure they can accept,
mm-hmm,
to get them out of problems. And they want to have no limit on the upper end. So this mortgage problem is only a smokescreen for when they need money to help people out of the derivatives mess. They're going to use up all of our money. We're the richest economy, no matter how what people say, we're the richest economy on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to expect that every single dollar that we have that they can shake loose will be used to prop up these guys who are going to lose their butts on derivatives. And this has been known for many, many years. All of the trust, the funds that we have, all the mutual funds, if you read their prospectuses, in the final few paragraphs, they say, we reserve the right to use hedge funds and derivatives with your money to increase or to protect our fund.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kucinich is going to be able to tell you a lot about that. He ended his blog by saying, these are just my thoughts on the run.
Yeah.
And he's going to have more for us. So if you would question him on whether he thinks it's possible that this whole thing is just a smokescreen. In other words, mm-hmm, we can quantify all the wealth on Earth. We can quantify the exposure of the derivatives industry, but we cannot quantify what you were talking about,
yeah,
the problem that we're having with mortgages.
Yeah.
It just doesn't ring true, so it must be some kind of a smokescreen.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate your comment. A very intelligent one, too. If you go to Kucinich.us, K-U-C-I-N-I-C-H, Kucinich.us, and you click on the homepage thing, that gets you to the subpage here where Dennis has written about a two-page commentary. And let me just read a couple of items here. Does anyone seriously think that our public and private debts of some $45 trillion will be paid, that the administration's growth of the federal debt from $5.6 trillion to $9.8 while borrowing another $1 trillion from Social Security has nothing to do with this? Does anyone not see that when we spend nearly $16,000 for every family of four in our society for the military each year, that we are heading over the cliff? This is a debt crisis, not a credit crisis. Just as FDR had to save capitalism after Wall Street excesses, we have to reinvigorate our economy with real, not imaginary growth. Well, we'll probably dip into that a little bit more, but I want to take more of your calls now to Nick in Monterey. Nick, you're on the air.
Hi. This bailout crisis is nothing new. It's been in our face so much, and now it's into a point of view in a different way. I kind of see it as, with the towers missing, they can't just, they have to, it's coming out point blank. what the authority is, and it's blocking the minds of all but one, to the point that it's been going on so long that there are no mom and pop stores. It's all chains. It's nothing in a grace about to walk around a yard or anything. It could be like Japanese gardens. Where I want to take a store right now is a big chain parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they've gone into competitions in themselves, that they had to go overseas to get a cheaper product to lower the price on the other guy.
Right.
Because they're getting, the money is on the dollar. It's coming out very beyond the wishes and means of living sustainabilities. I mean, it's just gone up in such a fast race that, you know, like I said, I can't take a stroll. And the fact that I'm a prisoner of my own home right now because I'm a kind of a grower of medical use.
Mm-hmm.
In 95, they came in on me, and I actually got some papers, and that was it. In 96, they came, got me again, and showed them papers again. But and that year, I got my pipe back. That's historic for Monterey County.
Yeah, but don't show them the zigzags next time.
And then the next year, a thief, and the next year, a thief, and now it's zigzags. That paper is a little hard because there's so much to endure out in the world, especially those overridden laws that put into big diesels in our faces. You know, the zigzags put me off the edge as far as the extra smoke.
All right. Thank you, Nick. I got to run to a break here. Appreciate your call today. Comments are welcome here on any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere in the sound of my voice. 888-5 Peter B is our number. And now a reading from the Borowitz Report, the fictional part of our broadcast day.
Believe me if I tell you, not a word.
Andy Borowitz reports, saying that desperate times call for desperate measures. GOP presidential nominee John McCain announced today that he would personally bail out of Friday's scheduled presidential debate. As of today, I'm officially bailing out of the debate, McCain told reporters. And I invite Senator Obama to join me in this bailout effort. Senator McCain said he would be putting together what he called a comprehensive debate bailout package, which could include bailing out of the other two debates as well. And when asked what motivated this, McCain said, when I woke up this morning and saw those terrible numbers, I knew that a bailout was necessary to keep those numbers from getting worse. Those are poll numbers. McCain refused to answer a reporter's question about whether he was talking about economic numbers or poll numbers, saying, I'm bailing out of any response to that question. And Sarah Palin said she would join in her running mate's bailout effort by bailing out of her debate with Delaware Senator Joe Biden. In a campaign stop in Michigan, Palin detailed a series of bold initiatives, including building a 20-foot-high fence between her and the press. We'll take a break and return to more of your phone calls. The Free Speech Zone, wide open. 888-5 Peter B.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
There is no issue that requires action at the global, national, and local levels more than climate change. We are already feeling the impacts. You are invited to attend an excellent, free United Nations Association program called Responding to Climate Change on the Global, National, and Local Levels. This is on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. in the beautiful Steinbeck Forum of the Monterey Conference Center in downtown Monterey. The keynote speaker is Reed Detchen of Ted Turner's United Nations Foundation in Washington, a true expert on global and national climate change policy. Also an excellent local panel with Mayor Chuck Della Sala of Monterey on the role of local governments, Bill Hayward of Hayward Lumber on the role of local businesses, and Megan Tolbert of Citizens for Sustainable Monterey County on the role of community groups. This is a free program. Just come to the Monterey Conference Center on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. More at unamontereybay.org.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Well, here's a nice surprise on this Wednesday, September 24th. I'm Hal Ginsberg with the KRXA 540 Traffic Report. No problems to report whatsoever. The board is completely clear. Looks like everybody's behaving themselves. Hope you're enjoying your commute. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful day throughout the KRXA listening area. Warm and sunny in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Low of 70 along the coast here in Monterey. Getting warmer as you move north into Santa Cruz to a high of 79 in Santa Cruz City. 87 in Scotts Valley, getting up to 89 in King City. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for the KRXA Morning Show with me, Hal Ginsberg. It's Thursday, so Robert Cruikshank will be joining me in studio to discuss politics, California politics. We return you now to the Peter B. Collins Show, only on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thin Lizzy serenading us with Wild One. And this week is a wild one in Washington. One of the newest members of the House of Representatives joins me right now, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who represents San Mateo County and part of San Francisco. In Washington, she succeeded Tom Lantos in a special election earlier this year. I want to call you Senator, but Congresswoman, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice to be with you.
I was reminding my listeners of the great work you did in Sacramento in the Assembly and the Senate on banking, finance issues, particularly your focus on consumer protection from predatory banks and their marketing activities and in their lending activities. So you're well positioned here to deal with these issues.
It's certainly not new to me. They're issues that have been around for a number of years, and we attempted to address many of them in Sacramento, although, frankly, not very successfully because the special interests have such a lock there as they have had here.
Yeah, yeah. And when you finally got it the third time past Gray Davis, they passed a preemptive law in Washington that essentially eviscerated what you had achieved.
Well, actually, not quite that bad. They impacted one-third of it. Two-thirds of the financial privacy law is still the law in California, and it's the strongest financial privacy law in the country.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie Speier, first of all, my biggest concern when I saw the Treasury proposal was Section 8 that said there could be no court oversight, no court review, no oversight really whatsoever. Is that dead on arrival? Can we put that one to bed?
I think we can put that one to bed because the new bill, you know, the bill that came to us from Treasury was 3 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
The bill that we reviewed today and that will get additional review for as long as necessary is 41 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really put a lot of flesh on the bones, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's much more accountability in this measure now than before. There are still problems with it.
Yeah.
There's still incredible latitude that's being given to the Secretary of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be an independent oversight board, which is important. It will be appointed by the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Just one point there on the Treasury Secretary. Could I ask you to put up a huge picture of Phil Graham? And just every time they say the Treasury Secretary shall, could you point to that picture of Phil Graham?
Well, you know what the problem with this bill is? It doesn't say the Secretary shall. In virtually every section of this bill, it authorizes the Secretary to do X.
Mm-hmm.
Or it says the Secretary shall coordinate as appropriate. So there's a lot of words in this bill that are not mandatory in nature. And that gives me reason to pause. And I think that we need to spend some more time fine-tuning it.
Now, what about parsing the money out in installments? Is that part of the new proposal?
Yes. It hasn't found its way into the bill yet, but there's growing consensus, certainly among Democratic members, that while we might put out that idea that there's $700 billion, that it will be phased in, mm-hmm. that it will be tranched, so to speak, and that there will be probably the initial amount of money will be larger than maybe the second or third installment.
Now, Congresswoman, I have to say that this whole episode has put me in touch with the capitalist inside, because I really believe that the rules of capitalism should not be altered here, that we shouldn't be intervening, that these companies are not too big to fail, and the bankruptcy process will break them up, and the survivors will thrive and will have greater competition. But by, for example, allowing Bank of America to use paper to pick up Merrill Lynch and Countrywide, we don't know the extent of the virus that will now infect Bank of America.
Well, the problem here is that you have to listen to the experts, and both Secretary Paulson and Chairman Bernanke have said that we are at the precipice. Now, we can blink, we can call their bluff, and you know, we can go into the R word or the great D word, and we're trying to forestall that. I mean, one of my big beefs with government is that we oftentimes are there after the fact,
mm-hmm.
after the crisis is over, and then we're sweeping things up. I mean, in many respects, we're trying to be there right before the crisis brings everything tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to relive 1929, and truly we won't, because it's a much more complex environment today.
Yeah.
And you know, there are many complicated elements to
mm-hmm.
it.
Congresswoman, I'm sorry, I can't stop the clock here, and I have a break coming up. Are you able to wait 4 minutes and stay with us?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, I'd love to have you do that, and we'll continue. And I think Congressman Dennis Kucinich will join us in the next segment as well. We're talking with Jackie Speier, Democratic Congresswoman from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we'll continue after this break on the Peter B. Collins Show. Share a podcast with this or any other portion of our program. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Are you interested in socially responsible investing? Would you like to see your money build a better world? I can green your portfolio by using companies involved with renewable energy. Call me, June Sayer, at 877-622-9073. Principal and Advisory Associate with Centaurus Financial, registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security unless a prospectus is delivered.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade frats, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, Time Magazine editor Mark Halperin declares that hell freezes over as Senators Barack Obama and John McCain took questions from their traveling press corps after a stint of being unavailable to the media. However, despite Halperin's suggestion that both candidates have been unavailable to reporters, Obama actually held a press conference as recently as September 19th regarding the economy, where he answered reporters' questions. McCain, on the other hand, hasn't held a press briefing since August 13th, as several outlets have noted. And with the most ridiculous comment of the day, here's Rush Limbaugh falsely accusing Obama of lying about his ethnicity.
There's these polls on how one-third of blue-collar white Democrats won't vote for Obama because he's black. And but he's not black. You know, he has not one shred of African-American blood. He doesn't have any African. That's why they asked whether he was authentic, whether he's down for the struggle. He's Arab.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
The president will be addressing the nation about a half hour from now, trying to calm the fears of investors, pension holders, and average Americans. And with that script written by the Chamber of Commerce, we know he'll be taking care of business. Congresswoman Jackie Speier from California is still with us, and we are joined by Cleveland Congressman Dennis Kucinich, both Democrats. Dennis, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate the work you're doing. And I want to turn to what I think is the most critical set of issues here, and that is focusing on borrowers, on the people who have mortgages that are going to escalate. And I'd like to ask each of you, starting with Congresswoman Speier, do you believe that we could actually get to the bottom of this and quantify the extent of the exposure if instead of starting at Wall Street and these complex derivatives and mortgage-backed security products, if we started with the borrowers? Because you set up a hotline and ask people to call if they've got a loan that is going to be triggered into higher payments in the next year that they won't be able to pay, we could get a much clearer reading on the extent of the damage and the extent of the exposure than it appears we can get from all the experts on Wall Street who created this mess. Congresswoman?
Well, you're right in a very important respect, and that is that we don't know how many there are out there and the exposure. There's a program that passed Congress called Hope for Home Ownership, mm-hmm. and it was an effort to try and entice many of these banks to modify these various mortgages by reducing them by 10%, and then the U.S. government would guarantee the loans moving forward. And in testimony before our committee, we had all the big banks. We had Wells, we had Bank of America, we had Chase, we had Citi, all there testifying that that would be the last thing they would do. The first thing they would do would be to freeze the interest rate at where it is. The second might be to add the default so far to the a balloon at the end of the mortgage. And the third and least desirable would be to reduce the actual percentage of the mortgage by 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good example of how Congress comes up with something, thinks it's a great idea, and there have been some mortgages that have been modified under it, but where you've got the big four or five saying, we're not going to use that until it's our last resort. So I think as we purchase these mortgages, we will be in a position to require both the issuer and the servicer to make the kinds of adjustments that we'd like to see.
Congressman Kucinich.
Well, you know, the real underlying question, as I see it, is whether we're helping the borrower or the lender. You know, there, and I would submit to you, Peter, that we've got an issue that's a sleeper here, because no matter what Congress might think it would be doing in bailing out Wall Street, there is the bulk of jumbo loans, the ones that were written in 2004, 2005. Five-year adjustable loans coming due in 2009, 2010, we're going to take another hit because there's, you know, there's 800,000 mortgages at least. Most of them are above $400,000. Some are, you know, much more than that. And the original loan holders are in trouble. They're not going to get their money back. On paper, the securities don't look bad, but the securities are going to have to be written down.
Mm-hmm.
And if the market rebounds, people in the outer suburbs, people with no equity, people went to buy the big homes or the big SUVs, you know, the volume of these mortgages are either going to have to refinance and take a loss in the amortization or going to have to sell it at market value, and eventually the loan holder will write it down. And what you're looking at, you know, with fewer mortgages, you know, there's fewer mortgages, it's much bigger, and they're going to cost over $1 trillion. People are making payments, but the securities which hold the mortgages go down in value. And, you know, you know, the default rates are low, but the market values of the paper is declining every day, and loans haven't been written off because they haven't matured.
Now,
so there's a big bulge in maturity period, and bankers don't want to see the properties because they're going to have to write down a portfolio. So this is something that, you know, Wall Street played games with these securities. They're trying to make everyone pay, and frankly, I'm not prepared to go along with a program that that passes the a cost of Wall Street speculation onto the American people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hate to be channeling Rumsfeld here, but he gave that spiel a long time ago about the unknown knowns, no, the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns. And one of the known unknowns here is that we don't know how far property values will drop. And so any effort to stanch the bleeding here by this quickie bailout to me sounds doomed to failure, because all the experts predict that the housing market will continue to decline for anywhere from 3 to 9 months. So, Jackie Speer, how do you think we should address this? And is this one of the reasons, if there is going to be bailout money provided, that it should be done incrementally?
You know, my experience with executive life in California was a great example where a insurance company went belly up. The insurance commissioner, rather than phase the sale, sold them all at once. And, you know, many of the annuitants that were supposed to be getting payments lost significantly. So staging this is, I think, very important because I think you're going to see the market eventually rebound. What's really happening here, there's a real crisis of confidence, not just here in this country, but across the continents. And I think, you know, we've already thrown $300 billion at this issue. If you take, Bear Stearns, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and AIG, and that, you know, still had us in free fall. So, you know, in part, both Paulson and Bernanke, as you know, well-intentioned as they are still trying to see what might work. No one has a silver bullet here. So phasing it, I think, allows for us to kind of moderate what's going forward.
That's Jackie Speier from California, and Congressman Dennis Kucinich is with us from Ohio. And Congressman Kucinich, at your website, kucinich.us, you have 10 points, and I don't want to enumerate all of them, but you talk about reinstating the Glass-Steagall Act and reinvigorating regulation of these industries. And you also talk about an equity position for taxpayers in the event that we do cough up cash for these companies, a credible formula for evaluating the assets, a sunset clause on the legislation, full disclosure of by members of Congress of assets held with possible conflicts put in a blind trust, a ban on political campaign contributions from corporations receiving bailouts, and a requirement that current candidates return political contributions from those sources. How do you feel these proposals will fare in this very fast-track process?
Well, I'm not the only one with ideas on this. I mean, it's you have 135 members of Congress. I would imagine that there's thousands of ideas going through the wind right now. But I will tell you this, that unless the House leadership finds a way to introduce principles of equity in this, this is a dead letter. And, today I also released on that same website a plan for stimulating the U.S. economy. I mean, we should be concerned about businesses that have tried to do the right thing and they get caught in a crossfire. We should be concerned about stimulating the American economy and protecting jobs, protecting the small investors with regulation and maybe with some help from the companies that were the good actors, trying to make sure depositors are protected at the FDIC, pensioners are protected. You know, there's things that we can do, but we got to be careful that we do not put ourselves in a position where we are simply helping the offenders who have gamed the market, lost with their games, and now decided that they figure out a way to leverage their losses with the money of the U.S. taxpayers. Unless we change the way the business is done on Wall Street, this thing's going to happen all over again. And that's why I say that we, as I put in that 10 points, we absolutely have to have re-regulation. Glass-Steagall was a post-Depression era a bill that was passed to make Wall Street accountable and stop the speculation. That was taken down in 1999 by the so-called Financial Modernization Act, which I voted against. And now we're starting to see the chickens come home to roost on Wall Street when you don't have regulation and you encourage speculation.
Dennis Kucinich, Congressman, and also Congresswoman Jackie Speier. And I know you both have tight schedules, so just let me know if you need to drop out here.
Peter, I'm going to have to go right now.
Okay.
I want to thank Jackie for the great job she's doing in the Congress.
All right.
Well, thank you, Dennis, to you too.
All right.
Actually, Dennis and I agree wholeheartedly on the Glass-Steagall Act. I mean, it's a classic example.
Dennis, go ahead. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Again,
we'll talk
Peter.
Again
Thanks,
soon.
Jackie.
Go right ahead, Jackie.
It's a classic example of how deregulation has absolutely undermined what had been working since 1939.
Mm-hmm.
There was a firewall that prevented banks from owning insurance companies and banks from owning securities firms, and the whole movement when Gramm-Leach-Bliley was created and the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed was, oh, this is our opportunity to have these financial supermarkets and everything is going to be terrific. Well, yeah, it was terrific for how many years? A cadre of people on Wall Street got very wealthy and the rest of us now are picking up the pieces.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Speier, I want to turn to the politics of this because one of my concerns now as this is shaping up is that many Republicans will vote against almost any package that comes out of this process. And Senator McCain is dramatically trying to solve some of his political problems by returning to Washington for a change. You should have a welcome back party for him.
I know. Welcome home.
To address these issues, and he's hoping it'll delay the debate scheduled for Friday night. But when we get past the maneuvering and look at this, the prospect is very real that we could have a Pelosi-Reid-Bush package that is boycotted by the Republicans, that doesn't poll very well, and becomes a drag on Democrats in the November election.
Well, I can guarantee you that Speaker Pelosi is not going. I mean, she's been very clear. This is your problem. This is your watch. we will help you. We will work in a bipartisan fashion to try and fashion a resolution. But she's made it very clear, if there's not a majority of Republicans voting for this, the Democrats are not going to be put up to kind of save the bacon, so to speak, frankly, the folks that are typically aligned with the Republicans in Congress. Now, that sounds pretty political, and I don't mean it to be that way, but it's very important that this be a bipartisan project.
Well, in Tom DeLay mode, the Republicans are going to point fingers at the Democrat and saying, you're politicizing this, as they try to use it politically to separate themselves from the most unpopular president in my lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's going to wash with the American public. I mean, look at what the polling is showing relative to McCain and Obama right now. I mean, Obama has seen a huge bump because, you know, now the public is very concerned not about Iraq, but about the economy, and they feel that he is going to do a better job and is going to be more presidential in addressing the issue.
Congresswoman, in a quarter hour, the president's going to address the nation on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being total fear-mongering. What do you think he's going to do?
Well, if history repeats itself, you know, he's going to be at an 8. Now, of course, the problem with that is if he, you know, freaks out the market, you know, we may not need this bailout. It may, you know, be over tomorrow. So he's got to be very measured in what he says tonight.
Yeah.
Because it really, there's a psychological process here. I mean, there is a confidence issue that has to be resolved. We spoke to one, you know, money manager today who said, you know, for instance, with AIG, I mean, that company is really financially in shape to be taken over by private enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are buyers out there, and they're willing to basically pay what the taxpayers have put up in guarantees right now and even offer up a profit. Well, you know, so some of this is just, you know, creating a foundation to reestablish a confidence in the marketplace.
Yeah, but AIG turned down some suitors thinking it could get a better deal in a government bailout. And
well,
that's a kind of capitalism I can't support.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, but, you know, to the Fed's credit, they went in and basically, you know, without the benefit of Congress or anyone else, just said, all right, this is it. And it appears now that it will be, you know, not a loser for the taxpayers of this country. That's the good news there.
Congresswoman, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it, Peter.
We'll talk to you again real soon.
All righty.
Jackie Speer, a Democrat from just south of San Francisco. We'll take a break and return. We're going to tip you off to the San Francisco Blues Festival this weekend. And if you're on the line, stay there. We'll squeeze in a couple of calls, too, before the end of the hour. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon again. This is Hal Ginsberg with your final KRXA 540 traffic report for Wednesday, September 24th. And the good times keep on going. No traffic problems to report at all at this time in Monterey and Santa Cruz. Hope you're enjoying your commute. Hoping you got home by now and that you're enjoying this beautiful, warm, late summer evening in our beautiful Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. I urge you to stick with KRXA 540 this evening through Peter B. Collins Show to the Scott Dick Show from 6 to 8 p.m. And, of course, I'll be on tomorrow at 8 a.m. with Robert in Monterey for our Caltech segment. Now, Peter B. Collins brings you to the CBS News at 6.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Whole lot of hurt in America. The blues have a healing effect. I'm planning to spend some time in therapy this weekend at the San Francisco Blues Festival. I want to welcome to the program Tom Mazzolini, who, like me, escaped from Chicago, and he really loves the blues. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Peter.
36 years of the San Francisco Blues Festival, still going strong.
Yes.
Well, congratulations to you, and I'm looking forward to great music this coming weekend. I've got some John Lee Hooker playing right now. That's The Healer. And you're going to kick things off with your blues film series at the Roxy Theater on Friday night. This is a new film, I think, about John Lee Hooker.
It's a documentary on the life of John Lee Hooker called Come See About Me, 127 minutes, directed by Bob Sarles, and it'll be at the Roxy. It features John Lee Hooker in various interviews and performances from the 1960s in Europe and Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And John Lee with the Rolling Stones, Carlos Santana, who we just heard with John Lee on The Healer there.
Mm-hmm.
And also doing a tribute to John Lee Hooker, our free kickoff concert this coming Friday at noon at the Justin Herman Plaza crossing the Ferry Building downtown San Francisco. So we're bringing back the old John Lee Hooker band and his daughter, Zakiya, and others.
Yeah. Well, it was your fault in advance of one of the blues festivals in the early 90s. John Lee Hooker came on my radio show at KNBR, and he came in with a little pocket amplifier and his guitar, and he fired it up, and it was something I'll never forget. I mean, he really touched me in a special way. And I certainly miss him, and I'm sure a lot of other blues lovers do, too.
John Lee died in 2001. It seems like it was just yesterday, actually. John Lee was one of the great traditions, one of the great legends in the history of this music, and we all miss him.
Yeah. So I want people to go to sfblues.com. You can get the full rundown of the Blues Festival. It's Saturday and Sunday on the Great Meadow at Fort Mason under the watchful eye of the Phil Burton statue there. And it's just a great, relaxing atmosphere. Bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket, and just hang out there on the lawn and soak up the blues. And, Tom, our time is limited, but give us three or four highlights from the performances this weekend.
Well, we're having Hot Tuna perform. They'll do an acoustic Hot Tuna finger-picking blues performance. And the great Texas guitar legend Johnny Winter will be there. Buckwheat Zydeco from Southwest Louisiana. and Elvin Bishop and the Manish Boys, and just a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how you pull it off every year, and you do a great blues show every Saturday on KPFA.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tom, thanks for doing this again for 36 years. It's something I really value, and I'll see you out there this weekend at Fort Mason.
You bet, Peter. Thank you.
You bet. Tom Mazzolini, producer and longtime blues supporter. Check out the Blues Festival if you're within range of San Francisco this weekend. It's a real treasure. Holly in Monterey, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I was hoping to catch the representatives and senator. I guess they're, are they both reps? I didn't remember.
Yeah, they're both representatives. Jackie Speer was a state senator, and that's why I opened by saying I wanted to call her senator.
Well, my concern is that I want to make sure that they're not using only Bernanke and Paulson as their experts, as they are somewhat compromised, and I'm hoping that there are others that are being listened to and consulted with, because that is a concern of mine.
Well, and it's another reason not to rush this through.
Well, I completely agree, and I mean, they've been working, I've heard the administration's been working on getting this out for the last few months. I don't know why in the last 4 days here of the Congress that we need to get it down.
You don't?
Now.
You don't?
No.
It's politics, baby. It's an election.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why.
Also,
and this,
my
this
other
is...
concern is the fact that I think we should also do what FDR did and do a bank holiday and look at these things and maybe give them a little bit now and a little bit then, since it seems to keep the markets pretty happy just to get a little bit. There's no reason to drop it all in their frickin' laps all at once.
Good comment. And I mentioned earlier today, partly in jest, but the markets were calm following Warren Buffett's $5 billion.
Exactly.
So, hey, let's flip Warren $5 billion once a month or once a week, whatever it takes. It'd be a lot cheaper than $700 billion.
And at least give us a chance to look at these banks and brokerages and see what the heck is really going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the other thing is, I do not like the thought that we're going to pay, give them money that gives them full what they say the market's worth. I've heard that they're trying to get the full cost of the or the full value of what it would be if they were doing well out of us, out of the taxpayer. And that's a crock, as you can imagine.
Sure. No, we can only give them fire sale prices with unacceptable terms. You know, like, we own a share of their business.
Thank you.
For bailing them out.
Yeah.
There's also something very powerful, a full-page ad in the New York Times today. Speaker Pelosi has proposed a $25 billion supercharge program for Detroit automakers to bring us fuel-efficient and renewable resource cars. And a group of independent automakers that I'd never heard of. I've heard of Tesla, but there are a bunch of others. There were like 9 or 10 of them that pooled their money to buy a full-page ad in the Times. We're going to try to get a representative on early next week to talk about that. But if we're going to, you know, jumpstart the green economy, let's do it with small companies, not the big failing ones. Thanks for your call. Gina, you held on for a long time. I got 30 seconds. What's your comment?
Hey, Kucinich and those guys better get the records that they have at Homeland Security. They passed under Homeland Security. They had to give information on the people that on each one of these deals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way that they've gotten information on each person. They got it from the churches. I mean, everything. They know so much about what's going on in this country. It's unbelievable.
All right, Gina, thank you. Appreciate your passion. Thank you all for listening today, and thanks to Kucinich and Jackie Speer for joining us.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush, who's about to address the nation on the financial crisis, will convene a high-level meeting tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Looking for a bipartisan deal on his bailout plan, President Bush has invited John McCain, Barack Obama, and congressional leaders of both parties to a White House meeting on Thursday. Mr. Bush spoke earlier in the day with McCain and then placed a call to Obama to extend the invitation. We're told they spoke for several minutes about the crisis in the financial markets. Press Secretary Dana Perino says President Bush wants agreement on a bipartisan and timely rescue plan. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
McCain announced earlier that he'll suspend his presidential campaign and return to Washington. He urged Obama to join him and also proposed putting off their debate Friday evening. Obama said no to that.
This is exactly the time when the American people need to hear from the person who, in approximately 40 days, will be responsible for dealing with this mess.
Obama and McCain just issued a joint statement saying all parties must cooperate to avoid economic catastrophe. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid discourages the candidates from showing up on Capitol Hill.
We should not have presidential politics enter what we're doing here. There's enough going on with presidential politics that we don't need that.
A deal on a bailout plan seems to be coming together. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
As negotiations continue behind closed doors, Treasury Secretary Paulson made clear he is acceding to many of the demands made by Democrats in Congress. He says there will be oversight of the $700 billion program, protection for taxpayers, people facing foreclosure will get help, and huge salaries paid to executives at the firms being bailed out will in some way be limited.
The American people are angry about executive compensation. And rightfully so.
Even when details are all worked out, there's no guarantee this can pass, since there's still a lot of reluctance, especially among Republicans, to agree to it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Three members of the U.S. military were killed in Saturday's truck bombing at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad, Pakistan. Now the State Department has declared major hotels in the Pakistani capital and two other cities off limits to all U.S. government personnel. They're also ordered to stay away from restaurants. The textile industry continues to cut back and consolidate. CBS News correspondent Jim.